The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If there's no good church option in my community, what should I do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. We're taking your questions on Bible, theology, Christian living, church life. Here's a question from a listener, Brad. Okay. And Brad says, all right, I'm confused about the radio program where you discuss the Lone Ranger, i.e. the Christian who doesn't go to church. I thought that we're not supposed to go to churches that are unclear on the message of life. Doesn't 2nd or 3rd John say we're not supposed to support someone who preaches and teaches an unclear or lordship salvation message? Am I just misunderstanding you guys? Please elaborate. Well, this is kind of the bind that people are in, right?
Right.
On the one hand, you really shouldn't support people who are preaching a false gospel. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean that God hasn't designed us to be members of a church in a functioning body, right?
And that's absolutely right. 2 John, and by the way, easy way to remember it is in the Greek, it's not 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's Alpha John, Beta John, Gamma John. Mm-hmm. Alpha is basically A in English, Beta is basically B, and Gamma is basically G. So the easy way to remember 2 and 3 John is 2 John is don't support the bad guys.
Bad teachers, yeah.
And 3 John is do support the good guys.
Right.
The good teachers.
And so maybe that's the answer to Brad's question. Don't support the bad guys, but find the good guys. Find the good teachers and support them. Move. Belong to their ministry. Find a church that's good.
Let me read a verse or two verses that say this. 2 John verses 10 and 11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, these would be traveling teachers who are not bringing correct doctrine about Christ,
yeah,
do not receive him into your home. That doesn't mean you can't talk to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon at your front door or even sit down in your living room with them. It means don't put them up with hospitality.
Well, I also
don't give them food and shelter.
I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, given the fact that the majority of Christians at this time met in homes,
right,
whether in a house or an apartment, a tenement apartment, could he be saying, don't even invite these guys into your house churches?
Well, that too. And he also says, nor greet them. And I think the nor greet them part is the normal greeting of the day would be something like, God bless you. But we're not wanting God's blessing on someone who is a false teacher.
Right.
And then he says, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In other words, if you're wishing him well, you're sharing in his evil deeds. Well, obviously, if you're putting them up in your house, you're mm-hmm. sharing in his evil deeds. If you're giving money to a ministry
sure.
that's evil, you're sharing in the evil deeds.
Or so, if you're inviting them into a house church, like a meeting of the Lord's Supper where they can contribute,
yes,
then you're participating in their evil deeds, right?
Well, absolutely. Now, it seems to me there are some references in Paul and 1 Corinthians to the fact there's a place for the unbeliever at the Lord's Supper meeting where you can put someone off to the side and say, if you wish to observe, you can,
right,
but you don't partake of the elements and you're not going to be part of the discussion, but you can sit here and listen if you'd like. But that's different than saying we're going to invite a false teacher
right.
to attend our meeting. We're not even inviting them to attend the meeting. But let me talk about options here for a second, because what Brad is basically picturing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but I think he's picturing two options. If I don't have a church that's clear on the message of life in my community,
yeah,
the only other option is I attend and financially support some church that's not clear. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's saying either I'm a Lone Ranger Christian, and you guys are saying that's bad.
So you don't go at all.
Oh, right.
That would be a third option.
Or I'm supporting a false church, which is also bad. So what do I do is basically his question.
And but I would say
the third option is,
let's say his third option is Lone Ranger Christian. So I'll say
okay.
the fourth option
okay.
would be you start a church, Brad, in your own home. By church, I mean you're going to have the bread and the juice of the Lord's Supper, and you're going to have some teaching.
Yeah.
And you eat some of the meal, and then one of the men, either you or another man who's in the meeting, and then the other men in the meeting can make comments or ask questions. Then you partake of the cup. Then you sing some songs together. You have a time of prayer together, and you end the meeting. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You don't need people with doctorates or with master's degrees in theology.
Yep.
Okay, that's four. How about another option, Brad? How about you drive further?
Yeah.
Let's say you don't have anything in your community, but there's something an hour away.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people drive an hour a day for work. Why can't you drive an hour for church? Or what if it's 2 or 3 hours? Okay, drive 2 or 3 hours. It's only once a week. At least you've got fellowship with other believers, and they're clear. There's hardly any place in the country where you're not within 2 or 3 hours of some church that's clear. But the other option is people move for their jobs all the time, right, Sean?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Why couldn't you move for your church?
Right.
We have a friend in Shreveport. We mentioned him the other day, Bill. He's moving, it looks like, from Shreveport to Marshall because he's found a church in Marshall that he wants to attend. Oh, 45 minutes to an hour drive one way, and he'd rather move there.
Yeah. Maybe we should reemphasize for people who are listening to this for the first time, why is it unnatural or unhealthy to be a Lone Ranger Christian, which is someone who is just trying to be a Christian on their own, and they're not going to church, and they're not taking the Lord's Supper, and they're not fellowshipping with other Christians? Why is it necessary? Why do we say that God has designed us to be in community? Why
okay.
do we say that?
Why don't you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25.
All right.
And I think this answers your question.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
So according to this, what happens when we assemble together?
Well, one thing is we're stirring each other up to love and good works.
And we're also exhorting one another as we see the rapture approaching and the judgment seat of Christ. I think that's what the day is, the judgment seat of Christ approaching. If Brad's a Lone Ranger Christian, then there's nobody stirring him up to love and good deeds, and there's nobody exhorting him to persevere in light of the coming rapture. Plus, if he's not partaking of the Lord's Supper, he's not being constantly reminded that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us, and Jesus' body was broken for us on the cross.
Now, I could see Brad coming back and saying, well, I mean, I'm listening to your podcast, and you guys are exhorting me to love and good works. I'm reading the books. I'm reading the articles. I'm getting some exhortation.
Yeah, and let me say, we do live in an odd time. People can actually, quote unquote, go to church on Zoom. Or people could consider this church, which that would be wrong. This isn't church. We're not a church organization. We help churches. And we don't partake in baptism in the Lord's Supper, and that's what a church does. But hypothetically, Brad, through various means, could be getting God's word, could be getting encouraged and exhorted and stirred up to love and good deeds, but he would be missing out on something that Jesus wants for every Christian.
Yeah.
Now, it'd be different if you're in prison for your faith, and you can't go to church.
Yeah.
Well, okay, start a church in prison.
Just break some bread and drink some juice with some other believers
there. The point is, unless you're in a situation that makes it impossible to gather with other believers, it's best to make that happen. That's the scriptural model.
Yeah.
Yes, there are ways to get strength and support otherwise, but it's not in place of church.
No.
It's in addition to church.
You know, I did a series of blogs, and I forget if I finished or not, but I hope maybe I'll do a booklet or print a book about this, on all the one another, the quote-unquote one another commands in the New Testament. One author said there are 58 such commands in the New Testament. You cannot obey those commands, and people can't obey them in regards to you unless you're with other Christians in church.
Right.
You know, you need other Christians in order to obey these one another commands. And so take that as more biblical evidence that you need other Christians. You need to be part of this believing body, this community, this family of God in order to be built up, in order to serve others, in order to be served. So you definitely need to, I want to emphasize, it's unhealthy. Let's say, put it that way. It's unhealthy to be a Lone Ranger Christian. And like Bob said, there are lots of options. The options are not either go to a bad church or not go to church at all. Those aren't the only two options.
Right.
Like you said, Bob, I mean, take it just as seriously as a job. If you didn't have work in your town, what do you do?
Yeah, you go to another town.
You go to another town. wouldn't you say like your Christian life is more important than your job?
I would say it is, and a lot of people don't view it that way, but they should. I just had an email where there's this couple that comes to our church. They have 10 kids.
Oh, yeah. My friend DJ.
So
they're moving.
Yeah, they're moving. His wife's name is Nicole, and yeah. She wrote me about some questions. They homeschool. They're praying and hoping that in the next 6 months to a year, they can move to Oklahoma to be a part of J.B. Bond's church in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They're not just moving two people. They're moving 12 people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It's a big deal. They have to change. He has to get his job either transferred or a different job. I don't know what he's doing. But my point is, there are a lot of people who are willing to move for church. Mm-hmm. And I think we all should be. And so, if need be, travel around and visit various churches by flying there or driving
sure.
there.
Sure.
And then when you find the one you want, move there.
Also, I mean, think about all the people who are moving right now. We live in Texas, and we're being inundated with Californians moving.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why is that? People are moving for political reasons or tax reasons.
Right.
Well, isn't finding a healthy church just as important, if not more important than that?
Well, I have several friends that moved from California to Texas primarily for church.
Oh,
and they
came.
Now, they were also leaving because of some of the other reasons you point out.
Yeah.
But before they came out here, searched out for churches mm-hmm. and then moved to the place like Georgetown. One of them
sure.
moved to Georgetown. Another yeah. one moved somewhere else. And they moved there because they wanted to be a part. Another one I know moved to Austin to be a part of a Bible church there in Austin.
Yeah. So anyways, consider it. I mean, consider the option, Brad, and other people who are kind of in Brad's situation. Consider the option of moving, but also multiplying. And by multiplying, I mean start a church in your house.
Yep.
I mean, the early Christians were, you cannot understand how poor most of them were, meeting in their little tenement houses, tenement apartments in Rome, in abject poverty. But they met and they were true churches, even
yep.
though just a handful of people breaking bread together. Well, thanks for your question, Brad, and very thought-provoking and a big challenge for a lot of people. Keep on sending those questions. Tell us what you think about it. Is moving possible for you? Is starting a church possible for you? What are some of the challenges you think are raised by that, and what kind of questions do you have about those things? We'd love to hear from you at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about the difference between belief and faith. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.